I'm going to read this aloud because if I had to read this in the privacy of my own home and be violated like this, you have to too. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Quote, ropes of hot cum filled my passage, sending zings of post-orgasmic sensation thrumming through my tender passage.
End I don't, quote. It's a lot of passage. My tender passage didn't appreciate any of that.
Hello.
Hi, ding dong. What? Who's that? Trick or treat. It's us.
It's us.
Happy Halloween.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
That is Sarah. Today she is dressed up as a podcast host who loves books.
And that's Hope. And she's cosplaying as a podcast host who loves to talk to me about books.
It's true.
Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope who has not read them. Mm-mm. And Hope, okay, I love the concept of like beggar's night in the Midwest, or like specifically in central Iowa, and how that's not like a thing elsewhere.
Yeah, that is so specific to central Iowa that it was not a thing in my life in eastern Iowa. And thank God. Explain what it is to people who maybe don't. Did we talk about this last year?
I don't think so.
Let's talk about it so fast.
For those who do not live in central Iowa, Beggar's Night is typically the night where kids go trick-or-treating, but it's not on Halloween night. And it was done because they were worried about, obviously they wanted kids to go out when it was still light out and the days are getting shorter. So they would do it between like 5:30 and 7:30 or so. And they would do it on typically a weeknight because they were worried about like drunk drivers and stuff, or like people out driving. And there's so many kids like crossing the road and stuff, and there's kids running amok. So they did it on times where like you could be seen and visible, and also on a night that's not like a weekend when people might be going out and partying for Halloween.
Right.
And so then you'd also have like this theme of like going up to a door, ding dong, and open door here, but you can't get the candy until you tell them a joke. And I didn't really follow that rule. Like, that's not a super hard and fast rule, but yes, you have to have a joke when you come to a door. So I don't remember any of the jokes I had growing up.
We just had a regular trick-or-treating when I was a kid. And as a kid, trick-or-treating already was terrible for me because I don't like going up to people's houses and ringing their doorbells. And I don't like talking to people. If you, as an adult, told me as a kid that I had to tell a joke to get candy, I would crumble immediately. Just be done. And I've heard stories of some adults being like, that joke's not funny enough, tell another one. And I would I'm affected right now and it hasn't even happened to me.
No, like, I'm sweating.
Terrible. No, terrible.
I'm breaking out in a rash just thinking about it.
I don't like it.
No, it's terrible. But no, it was always fun because then you had to like do the whole, it was kind of nice though doing Beggar's Night on a different night than Halloween, because then you can do the whole dress up thing like 2 days before Halloween. And then if you had like a Halloween party, or if your parents had something, or if there was like a Halloween festivity you wanted to go to, you didn't miss out on the trick or treat night.
Right.
You know?
That's nice.
Okay, you guys, let's get back to the point of this podcast.
This is a podcast about trick or treating.
This is a podcast about giving you jokes to use when you go out for Beggar's Night. No. So I wanted to tell you a couple of things before we get started. We have social media. Did you know that?
Whoa, no way.
As two people who used to work in social media, and one of us still does. We have an Instagram and a TikTok account called @SaySmutPodcast. You should go follow us there because I post a lot of recommendations for books. I just did a video explaining recommendations for the holiday season.
Yeah, it's tis the season pretty much, even though at time of recording, it's not Halloween yet, but it's basically, I've seen the Christmas commercials. I've seen the decor.
No, the Christmas. Okay. There's a Jennifer Hudson one for, I think it's for Target or no, maybe it's Old Navy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's, I was like, soon. Wow, tis the season. Mariah is thawing. She's about ready.
Is.
So anyway, follow us on those platforms because we're also going to be doing giveaways.
Ooh, I love stuff.
And we also just post a lot of fun things on there. And so let's jump into the podcast because Sarah doesn't have a lot of time before she goes to her regular job today.
so true.
I want you guys to know that I took this choice seriously mm-hmm. for our last spooky season. Mm-hmm. Just to recap, Hope, what have we encountered this spooky season for some of the previous episodes that mm-hmm. people can go check out?
Yes. So we have encountered, technically Butcher and Blackbird yes. was spooky, right?
Yes. Serial killers.
Serial killers. So spooky in a serial killer way. We've had Corn Man. Obviously.
No, Corn Daddy.
Corn Daddy, sorry. Though I don't want to put disrespect on Corn Daddy's name. Corn
Thank
Daddy.
You.
We did the sequel to Jack, so that was a pumpkin guy. What did we do between Jack and Corn Daddy? I drew a picture for it, and now I don't remember what we did.
Oh no.
Oh, okay. Headless Horseman. The Headless Horseman. I can't believe I lost my head. I forgot.
Screw that on tighter next time.
Yeah, check out all of those. Okay. And if you want even more spooky stuff in the next several days before Halloween, go back a whole year and there's even more goofy stuff that we've done for spooky yeah, season.
Including Jack's dad, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Learned about Jack's dad and then okay. come back around and learn about Jack.
As you've mentioned, we've got the Headless Horseman. We've mm-hmm. got Corn Daddy. We've mm-hmm. got serial killers, and yeah. we've got a pumpkin man. What do you feel like is missing from our lineup, if you were to guess?
Do you want me to tell you truthfully based on what I know my research topic is, or no. do you want, okay, well
no, I'm kidding.
Well, this is weird.
Well, this is uncomfortable. How do I politically answer this
question? What are some other autumnal things? I'm gonna list a bunch, knowing okay. most of them are not the topic of this book.
Okay.
We haven't done werewolves. We have Ooh. Been super done a Frankenstein.
No.
We haven't done a scarecrow. We haven't done, I don't know, other stuff. But Sarah gasps. What does it mean?
It's a scarecrow, because today we are going to be reading Scream for the Scarecrow by Violet Taylor.
Wow.
Now, I think this is going to be, there are a lot of elements of this that are reminiscent of Corn Daddy. Okay.
Great.
Because where do you see scarecrows except for in fields right?
Usually so, fields.
But also, if you remember, Corn Daddy had a very lovely author's note of content warnings.
Yes.
And it was like kind of proposing as if it was going to be super dark. And then it wasn't, because it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually kind of a darker book. Now, we're going to make it funny. Mm-hmm. At least we try to make it funny, because the concept of a scarecrow fucking you in a field is funny. You
I giggled. I giggled right when she said it.
Yeah. So I am going to give you some content warnings. But this is your reminder that, like, you should always check your own content warnings mm-hmm. and make sure that you understand what you're reading. Because sometimes we don't cover things in depth
yes.
That are going to be more done in the book if you want to read it. Mm-hmm. So content warnings, death and murder,
mm-hmm.
blood. And blood during sex. I want to be clear, blood during sexual scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Questionable consent,
mm-hmm.
which this is your reminder that consent is always important.
So important. We keep saying it.
Mm-hmm. And then choking. And there might be some other kind of BDSM-y, BDSM-y things, mm-hmm. you know. So Scream for the Scarecrow has a 3.18 on StoryGraph and a 3.62 on Goodreads.
Wow.
This is from Violet Taylor's Goodreads, so this is a little bit about her. Violet Taylor is a crystal and candle shop owner by day and paranormal romance novelist by night.
Fun.
So fun.
Two very fun jobs.
So cool. She spends her free time fantasizing about living in an isolated mountain cabin with her wonderful husband and herd of fur babies.
Mm.
She prefers her books with magic, mates, and plenty of muscles.
Excellent.
So that's about our friend Violet.
Thank you, Violet.
Are you ready to scream for the scarecrow?
I've never been more ready to scream.
Please don't scream for the sake of our listeners who have especially headphones on.
I'm loud enough.
But I am going to disclose right now before we jump into the book that this was not the best written book from a scenic perspective. And I've talked about this before, where sometimes I have to reread scenes over and over again to actually mm-hmm. get a gist of, like, what is going on here and how did their clothes magically come off and now they're like skin to skin, or like how is she in that position because they were just in this position, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they don't really sell the scene to me as somebody who's going to analyze this. And again, not that this book was really made yes. for analyzing.
It's so crazy that they didn't write this book specifically for us to talk about it on our podcast.
Yeah. So my first question to you, Hope, is what do you do when you're picking out a pumpkin?
What do I do when I'm picking out a pumpkin? Well, I'm looking for a good surface to carve because I'm like, ooh. I don't know that I've ever bought a pumpkin and not carved it. So generally looking for size and then hopefully a flatter side to carve off of, not too many bumps. That's usually it. It depends on what I'm going to put on it, but I'm usually trying to find a pumpkin that will be a good landscape for my carving.
Okay. Well, we're going to enter on our main character, Scarlet, who is at the pumpkin patch. They call it a pumpkin farm. That is not correct. It's a pumpkin patch. And they're picking out some pumpkins and they're kind of disagreeing on what size pumpkin. And sure. Scarlet wants one with all the bumps on it. Mm-hmm. And her friend's like, ew, that's so gross. I want to vomit. So yeah, no, it's very dramatic, but I want to give you the scene that we are in the Georgia Mountains area. Okay. So Appalachian Mountains. And her and her roommates are looking at these pumpkins because today is Halloween. And I want to point out that that is the worst time you could pick out a pumpkin because all the good ones are gone.
Yeah. Slim pickings on Halloween, I would think.
And also, like, what are you going to do with that pumpkin? Because, like, it's over after this.
But you shouldn't, I would say don't carve it because you can transition it into Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. And also you should know that they're going to leave on a trip to Mexico tomorrow morning.
Oh,
for
terrible
a
time to get a
wedding. Yeah.
Just going to let that pumpkin rot on a stoop.
Yeah. So then they just decide, we're not even going to get one.
All right. Good talk.
So the first three pages, obsolete. but Scarlet decides to go off by herself to an area that doesn't have many of the like patrons in it, in this field. And she comes across a scarecrow that looks pretty gnarly, right? It's been out there for a while. It's got kind of tattered clothing on and whatnot. She goes to touch its mouth and somehow gets pricked and starts bleeding. Not sure how that started. I mean, and to be fair,
bitten?
Hay. Well, okay. Hay can be kind of sharp sometimes,
yeah,
you know,
like
it can. Yeah. And it can give you splinters and stuff, but I don't know. That felt like a stretch in my mind. But then this creepy old man comes up behind her and is like, oh, he might bite you. And like, she's like, okay.
Oh.
And then he's like teasing her, but also being very creepy about it and makes a comment about how she shouldn't like be on these cursed lands.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
And then I kind of for a moment was like, are we going to get into like indigenous territory and be like, yeah, this land was taken and
that
we are being like,
probably be really appropriate. Actually.
Yeah. I was like, this would be so progressive of us to actually address how this is not land that we
fully stolen land.
Yeah. So I wanted you to do your research here because this was the moment at the scarecrow scene with the old man.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, do we even use scarecrows anymore for their original purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how useful are they? Like, I can't imagine that they're extremely useful. As somebody who plays farming sim games, they're very useful.
So good in
Stardew
the farming
Valley.
Sims.
I love a good scarecrow. They keep the crows away. But in reality, could you tell me if we even use them anymore, or do we use like something else similar to the concept, or how useful they even are?
Sure. First, I want you to know that when I was looking up stuff for this, I think a thing that came up just sort of like in the middle of a search was maybe a Reddit conversation on the effectiveness of scarecrows in Stardew Valley, which is funny.
Excellent. As
so
it should be.
That was covered. Welcome to my report called Hey Y'all, Let's Learn About Scarecrows. You know, like, hey, like H-A-1.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That you're absolutely right. I didn't pick up on that.
Thank you.
Pun right away.
Thank you.
And that was like a low ball pun. I should have gotten it immediately.
Incredible.
Apologies.
I would like to give a huge shout out to the University of Maryland Extension Office and Frederick County Master Gardener C.T. Ward. Because when I do research, usually I will like do a framework of the stuff I want to include, the what's and the when's and the where's and the why's. And then I will pull a bunch of sources and start reading through them and then compiling my research. And so I pulled a bunch of resources together. And one of the last ones I found was this article titled The Story of Scarecrows, written in 2023. And it uses a majority of the internet sources I had already come across.
Can I just tell you that when you do research about specific topics like this, like kind of obscure, a little mundane topics, you always find one that's like, here's everything you need to know about a scarecrow.
Yeah.
Here's everything you need. Here's what keeps me up at night as somebody who that's makes corn mazes. Like, it's so oddly specific.
The master gardener of Frederick County in Maryland was on top of it. So I really appreciate it.
Frederick Malin.
Yeah, so that really helped, and it helped me condense the history part of my research, which I was always going to include, even though you didn't ask for it. So
thank you.
All of that to say thank you so much to C.T. Ward, the University of Maryland Extension Office, Juliet Favreau in her article, The History of Scarecrows, which is in thanksgivingpoint.org, the Humane Society of the United States, the Penn State Extension, and very like-minded Lori Rotenbach, who wrote an article for Modern Farmer titled "Hey Man, the Curious Life and Times of Scarecrows."
Nice. Yeah, nice. So
I was like, we're so smart with our,
you know, who's a modern farmer? Me in my Stardew Valley farm. I am such a modern, I use the most modern technology. I am so rich. Anyways, I
planted pumpkins in my Animal Crossing island, and in that way I too am a modern farmer.
We are a modern farmer. Anyway, sorry, keep anyway, going.
So to keep it brief, from a history perspective, humans have been trying to keep crows off of crops and buildings since like forever. And as such, scarecrows have been around for a long time. So Egyptians and indigenous Americans would employ tactics to literally just like scare crows away from field themselves. So like hide, yeah, and then jump out and try and scare crows, or stand on platforms and just kind of like yell at them to make them go away, which is so funny to me. Farmers in ancient Greece and Rome used used statues of the god Priapus in their fields. So this was a god of like harvests and fertility and stuff. Also just like, yeah, a statue in a field.
Also just could have been any god or goddess.
Yeah, it could have been, but this one is specific to look over the fertility of the field. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that he looked kind of gardeny and like naturey, and also I googled images of Priapus, and another fun fact is that he is often portrayed with an absolutely massive and erect dong.
He needs to be fertile.
He's ready to fuck in those fields. So anyway, there would be statues of him in fields, and that helps scare birds away a little bit. For a while in medieval times, kids were used to scare away animals that were trying to eat crops. But then unfortunately, we needed those kids to do the farming as well. So we subbed out the kids for scaring crows, and instead
needed
them to
labor.
Do the farming. Yeah. In medieval times, we're like, kids, a lot of us may or may not be dying of the plague, and we need you to pick up.
Here's what I'll say though. If I was gonna, I don't condone child labor, but if I was gonna pick a job for a little kid to do that's fun,
scaring crows,
scare the crows. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we need their labor for the field. So instead, they started stuffing shirts and making fake heads to essentially create the scarecrow that we know of today. So do we still use scarecrows like that? The answer is sort of. Yeah, sort of. Traditional scarecrows are obviously more used as a Halloween decoration than a bird deterrent.
Yeah, of
but
course.
They are still used. Scarecrows can work in the short term. But the problem is that because there's tons of birds everywhere all over the country, and also they're like very accustomed to humans and their bullshit, crows will usually pick up on what's happening and then get over it and like be used to it because they're very smart. So
get
like
over it.
No, they should be like,
they go to therapy, they consider their options.
They're like, I need to talk to you about this hay stuffed man I keep seeing.
He's following me, I swear. Everywhere.
But yeah, eventually crows get used to seeing a non-moving, soundless form, and they're not scared of it anymore. So scarecrows are not like the most effective way to scare a crow. There are better options. Baseline, you could have a scarecrow, but like give it some moving parts or have it emit noises that crows hate, and then that will add to the effectiveness of the scarecrow over a period of time. In general, speakers emitting noises that crows hate are effective. I saw a lot of mentions of speakers with that played crow distress calls, which feels like psychological warfare on crows, but whatever keeps them at bay. Speaking of psychological warfare, you can hang effigies of fake crows, and that will scare the shit out of crows and me in a way that makes them stay away from your field for a period of time.
Yeah, no, if I saw, you know, dead humans, I'd also be like, maybe I shouldn't come over here.
You can take shiny and clanking stuff like pie pans or Mylar streamers or other like spinning shiny shit. And that will kind of freak them out. I also saw mention of using pyrotechnics, but I don't recommend using pyrotechnics. It just seems dangerous.
Yeah, especially in a field.
In a field seems highly flammable. And then you can use don't do this with just any laser pointer. You can use like a low energy laser pointer light and point it at where the crows are like roosting and nesting, and it will disrupt that area for them.
Can I give you a quick aside about my father?
Of course you can.
My father has a little pond in his backyard. He's in a cul-de-sac. A bunch of houses face mm-hmm. this pond. And during 2020, when we were all losing our minds, I guess the geese were also losing their minds and deciding to congregate and stay at home in the sure. pond. So dad
it was a pandemic.
Yeah. Dad had gotten a gag gift of like this fly gun that was like supposed to squirt like salt water.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But it was like, it was supposed to look like kind of a military gun with like a laser pointer on it, like as a joke.
Like and he a was scope. Like,
yeah. And my dad looked up all these different ways to get rid of these geese because these geese would keep him up all night. I mean, they were so loud. Mm-hmm. And so he finally realized that you could use the laser pointer and he'd go out and use the laser pointer on the, he would like get his little gun out and it looked like he's going to shoot these geese, but it's just like the laser pointer and amazing. Then they'd all disperse. Anyway. So whenever that's anybody talks about that, that just felt really fitting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The caveat with all of the methods that I've mentioned to this point is that you have to change it up and kind of move around where you're doing it in the field, because otherwise crows will stop giving a fuck over time.
Yeah, no, of course. They'll get accustomed to it. They'll go to their therapist. They'll work through it. They're and then they'll be like, you know what? I can do this.
I used to be afraid of that, but I'm not anymore. And then gross. My final words are that some people can use like toxic or lethal methods to get rid of crows, and don't do that. And everything I saw about that says that it's bad and probably dangerous and also ineffective in the long term, because if you like use a lethal deterrent, it'll get rid of the crows that you have presently, but that it will not stop crows the next season from coming over to where there's now no crows. Crows simply don't give a fuck. And that's my research.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. I just was like so interested because as mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, I was like, I have seen it as decoration. Obviously, we've all seen scarecrows as decoration. But I was like, I don't know how effective those are and how because we modernize so many things mm-hmm. that I was like, I'm sure there's not a hay-filled man in a field anymore, but they might have other techniques. Anyway.
You could use netting. Yeah. Netting sounds.
Yeah.
Terrifying effigies of dead crows. All of the above.
All of the above. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hey. Well, thank you very much. And we're going to move on. And all of her friends leave the pumpkin patch without a pumpkin, as we know.
Yes.
They're going to go home and pack for their early morning flight.
Mm-hmm, to Mexico.
When you are packing to go to Mexico, what are the core things you think you need?
Sunscreen, because I'm pale and I'm covered in moles.
Okay, let's get more to the need things.
Well, that is a need thing. Probably a swimsuit, probably the clothes I'm going to wear for the duration of the trip. This is for a wedding.
Yes.
Presumably the dress I'm wearing to a wedding.
Okay.
Toiletries.
Yeah. No, but what would you need to go to Mexico?
Oh, passport.
Yes. Me being like, what do you need? You're like,
I've had a passport it one time in my life, and it was to take a cruise where we only like got off the boat one place, and
that's
it was
really
like
sad.
Yeah, I don't really use my passport.
Oh yeah, I just realized that mine expired. And
expired.
I just read an article that the lines are very short right now for getting passports. So if you're gonna get one now.
After this podcast, we're both gonna go get passports.
We're gonna do it on recording, and you guys will hear us.
Bonus app.
I was gonna say like at the DOT, but I guess it's not the DOT. I have to imagine you have to go somewhere.
Post office.
Post. Well, you gotta get your photo. Yeah,
at like a Walgreens or
or something. This anyway. Is not that podcast.
What it is
we're talking about Scarlett, and she needs her passport, but she realizes she left it in her purse, which is gone. She can't find it. And she figures, I probably left that in the field that we were at, the pumpkin patch. Uh-huh. Because if I was going to keep things, which we were just talking about how I keep things that I probably shouldn't keep in my purse, and I'm not going to identify what identification I keep in my purse that I should probably keep in a safe. But she has her ID and credit cards, mm-hmm. and apparently her passport is in her purse.
Your pass card, your birth certificate, your social security card, the code to the lock where you keep all of your jewels and money. All exactly. things I just keep in my purse.
So she's freaking out, and she's like, I need this purse, obviously, to go to Mexico tomorrow. So I'm just going to go back to the pumpkin patch,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to sneak in, and I'm going to go find my purse. Okay?
It's the only way. Yeah. Don't call ahead and ask. Just trespass.
Yeah. As you should, but it's pretty late. I mean, like, who knows if somebody would even answer. Hmm. So she goes back and it's now dark and there's like a weird mist among the grounds. Mm-hmm. And she's walking around and I don't know exactly how she got into this position, if she like fell or something.
Sure.
But she hits her head on a pole that's stuck in the ground.
Oh, no.
And she looks around, realizing there's straw around her. And she looks up the pole, thinking she's going to see that scarecrow from before. Mm-hmm. But nothing's there.
Gone.
Weird. So as she's looking around, again, kind of disoriented, not quite sure where she's at in this field at this point. Mm-hmm. And she spots her shiny purple purse, which just that description alone, I hate that purse.
Fascinating. What year is it?
No clue. I have to imagine it's like modern day. But she goes running after it and grabs it. Now she starts hearing these noises around her, like a snap here or like a rustle there.
Sure.
And she starts freaking out, thinking about a poem that she read once that was carved into an old mountain tavern she visited on her camping trip last year up in some mountain area. Uh-huh. The way that I had to reread
Tell me
that,
more.
I had to reread it so many times, being like, how did we flip to this moment in time? Not quite sure. But I guess it refers, this poem refers to Appalachian lore. And it says, quote, "The mist allows the dead to rise, playing tricks on human eyes. You can't make out their form or shape. And when you do, there's no escape."
Well, there you go.
I'll also disclose there were a couple poems in this book, and I didn't look up to see if they were real poems or if these were just
Violet's lore like, poems.
Yeah. So anyway, she literally runs into a figure. Okay.
Well, now it's too late.
6 feet tall, mm-hmm. over 6 feet tall, mm. Because of course he is.
Gotta be.
And I'm going to give his description now. It's a little bit longer, so hang in here with
I'm
me.
I'm ready.
Okay. He's got, quote, "Torn red pants covering strong legs. An old flannel lays open, its buttons busted and long ago discarded. The damaged clothing reveals a patchwork of stitched up flesh and deep scars over a mass of knotted, hard-earned muscles." I'm going to do a quick aside here and say, I don't know how he has hard-earned muscles if he stands around all day
on a pole.
So don't tell me he has muscles and he's just like standing around doing nothing. Okay, on we go. "My stare shoots to his face. Mm-hmm. Deep etchings above his chin serve as haphazardly pieced together lips. More stitchwork and scarring led to a triangular opening where a nose should be," end quote.
That all now, makes sense to me.
I didn't quote the next part, but just so you know, he has obviously two eyes, but one of them's blue and the other one's white.
Interesting.
And he's got a scar that runs over the white eye.
Ooh.
He's also got like black hair that's loose around his face and has only what I can describe as like clumps of hay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so very dirty.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me.
Very gross. And he has really, really sharp teeth. Cheeks. He has the most incredible cheekbones.
Cut and, to the gods.
And I'm not talking about his face. He's got crazy ass cheekbones.
He's got dumps like a truck. An ass that won't quit.
So he has these really sharp teeth and a jaw that can like unhinge like crazy wide. So I only imagine like the villain, you know, Venom.
Right.
Like,
yeah, for
the
sure.
Super
like
villain Venom.
Mouth up to your ears.
Yeah. It is, in fact, the scarecrow, if you were wondering if this was any question at this point.
I had
this
a hunch it could be the scarecrow from earlier, but I wasn't sure.
So he pins her to the ground and says, "Don't waste your air. I haven't given you anything to scream about yet."
Yet.
Yes.
I wrote the book this time.
You did.
Why me?
So she asks how he got this way and if it's magic. And he says, "No, it's a curse." Spoiler alert, it's actually magic. So she was correct.
I mean, curses usually involve magic.
Yeah, and I hate how he gaslit her like that. That was a little rude. So he's now going to trauma dump on the poor woman about how he got into this situation. Would you like to hear his story?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Here's the shortened version, and he's very dramatic with it, so I'm watering this down. 100 years ago, he was getting down and dirty with the farmer's daughter, and he was making her scream in the fields because that's his mega kink, I guess. And she got pregnant. Mm. And when the dad, the farmer, found out and got suspicious, instead of being like, that's my man, you sure? No, that's my man. She turns on him and she's like, yeah, no, he like maybe forced himself. Like we're unclear of like how she turned on him, but it made it sound like maybe she accused it of not being consensual. Sure. Right. So the farmer comes and gets homeboy and I guess like ties him down and tortures him with his friends. Like they're all just like having a good time. And then they hang him from a tree. And then they let his body down so that the animals can tear it apart.
Well, then.
And like let it kind of rot on the forest floor before this like local forest witch takes the pieces because the farmer was like, this is not enough. Like
torture for this man.
So that he was like, hey, local forest witch, could you maybe like piece them back together? And she's like, no problem. And she's like, let me get my needle and thread. And so then she cursed him. So now he has to live his quote unquote life watching through beady eyes. And so he's just been on his scarecrow shit for 100 years. But he also once a year, the veil thins enough that he can come out to play. Now, he still can't leave the grounds of the field, okay?
Right.
But sometimes people will come to the field.
If you happen to have lost your purse with every critical identifying document that you could possibly own, he will come out and play with you.
Yes. So he's like, typically I get men who run through here and I'll like kill them and it's very fun. Mm-hmm. I've never had a woman, but I have manly needs. Of course. Like, he's like, I have the needs of a man and I haven't done the dirty for 100 years. Like, it's just, I don't know. Okay.
Classic so men.
So while he's telling her his villain origin story, she's like feeling sorry for him. And she's like, oh, it's a tough break.
A bummer, man.
Bummer. So then he starts like dry humping her. And she starts like moaning. And he's like, wait, are you into this? And she's like, Maybe
a little bit.
Maybe just a bit. And she doesn't verbally give affirmation like that she was into it, but then internally is freaking out because she's very much into it. So sure. He does finger her to completion. Right. But again, that consent, very questionable. The consent's going to be very clear in the next couple of actions.
Okay.
Because again, she's into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to also note here that he's very clearly insecure about his appearance, especially because she's so pretty.
And then he's a scarecrow.
Yes. And he's got like patchwork done on his skin. And
he
like
probably looks like this.
Another picture. Oh, well,
there's a purse. There's a bowl.
There's the purse.
Hey.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good one.
But then I also did a more close-up of his face. It's just spookier.
Thank you. Okay, that will go on. That will go on the Instagram story as it always does.
Good.
And then so he strips her down to only her boots to play a game. And you guessed it. What do you think they're going to play?
Hide and seek?
Pretty much. It's a game of cat and mouse.
Yeah.
He wants her to chase her.
Yeah.
And I also say at this point, thank you for allowing her to have her shoes on.
Yeah, that was kind.
That was very practical. Could you imagine running through a field barefoot?
Absolutely sucks.
We just talked about how sharp like hay and like corn stalks are.
Like, oh my gosh. Ooh. Yeah. Just stab through your
gross
foot.
Gross. Anyway, so at this point, she very much verbalizes that she wants to play. He's like, you want to play a game? She's like, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And she runs, and it isn't long before she trips over something because Scarlett's a dumbass. I'm sorry. Scarlett was a dumbass.
She might just be clumsy.
No, Scarlett was a dumbass the moment she kept her
passport in her
purse.
Yeah.
And then left that at, again, why did you leave your purse at the, okay. So he grabs her from behind and gets her doggy style before making her quote unquote scream. Because again, that's his thing. And he plows. He plows full throttle into her.
Damn.
And of course he's oversized. Right. Well,
naturally.
Yeah.
Did we get a description?
No, but I have to imagine. I wish we would have.
Maybe it's for the best that we didn't, because it sounds like he's a patchwork of flesh and also hay.
Could you imagine being told, hey, you're a forest witch and mm-hmm. you need to patch together this guy for us. And you think, okay, well, do I need to put the penis back on him?
You give him a massive schlong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be sure to do that.
I love that the witch, you're going to, we'll talk about the witch in a little bit, but like the witch was like, he still needs his dick.
He definitely still needs a massive schlong.
Yeah. So anyway, so she is now screaming and very much consenting. And mm-hmm. just as she's orgasming, he bites into her shoulder.
Oh.
And he has like a thing with blood, because earlier she like bit her lip a little too hard and he licked the blood from her lips. So like it's a thing.
He likes to murder. So mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm going to read this sentence aloud.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to read this aloud, because if I had to read this in the privacy of my own home and be violated like this,
oh,
you have to too. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Quote, ropes of hot cum filled my passage, sending zings of post-orgasmic sensation thrumming through my tender passage.
End I don't, quote. It's a lot of passage. My tender passage didn't appreciate any of that.
Two passages in one sentence.
Two passages. And they're not even different passages. It's the same
passage. No, it's the same passage. Okay.
So many ropes have come.
Spoiler alert. There's going to be more passages as we go through this book.
Will there also be more ropes of cum? I'm not sure I'm ready.
I kept the ropes of cum out of it, but cool. There are other descriptors. Again, if you want to get hot and bothered in this book, this is why this is a darker romance, but the way it was written, I'm like giggling because mm-hmm. the words used, not passive. Super hot. Okay. So just as he finishes, she goes to like crawl away and, he's like grabs her and is like, no, we're not done. And, I'll fuck you with something other than my penis, which then I sat there and was like, do you have another penis? Do you have,
no, instead of that, hands.
And then I was like, oh wait, it's probably his mouth. And then I read three more sentences. It was his mouth.
Oh, who would have thought? And with his like, sharp pointy teeth?
Yeah. Oh, just wait. And she's like, yes, please. You own me. I want to scream again. Okay. Wow. So again, consent very clear right now.
Mm-hmm. I like that though. I appreciate clear consent.
Yes. He does go down on her. And I imagine that he has the insane length of a tongue that like, remember when we had given to the ghoul and he had like mm-hmm. a crazy tongue that like went into her ovaries?
Yeah. Jack also had a really long tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It's that. Okay.
Right.
Because he is going multiple inches inside her with his tongue and also enjoys referring to her passage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We all call it a passage.
I want everybody who's listening today, who's interested in reading this book, to go download it and then take a shot every time the author writes passage. Tell me how drunk you are at the end. I don't think
in good consciousness we can encourage people to do that.
Yeah. And as a woman, you... As a woman who is married to a doctor, how do you feel about, and you are also probably our most health conscious co-host here, because you're always worried about us putting things in holes.
I am. That in that way, yes.
Yes. This is your reminder that she is a gaping wound on her shoulder from his supercharged teeth.
That's
is
true.
Naked except for her boots and is lying in a dusty, dirty, cold field.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm imagining the blood loss is insane right now.
But it's so cold.
Too. Yeah.
It sounds unpleasant.
Yeah. So after he goes down, the orgasm count is now 3 for Scarlet, nice. 1 for Scarecrow.
I've been tallying for Scarlet.
I appreciate that, because we're going to keep going.
Good.
We love a man who can provide, you know, make sure she's getting taken care of.
Yes. Important.
Immediately after he penetrates her again with his own passage. And then I started saying, what's the opposite of passage? Doesn't matter. They have missionary sex.
His own passage?
No, it was me trying to be clever in my writing.
Okay.
me trying to be funny, but not.
Not.
But then, like, you see me have this he train of thought. He embarked
his boat down her passage.
I'm like, what is the opposite of a passage?
The way you get down it?
Boulder? I don't know. Doesn't matter. They have missionary sex. Everyone just fucking ignore me. Okay. Again, I'm only going to read. No, Alexa, not you. Okay.
It's not about you.
She's like, I thought I heard my name. No,
it's not about you, girl.
Okay. So again, I'm only going to read this next line aloud because I had to read it myself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm braced.
Quote, the sweet squelching each time her pussy sucks me greedily back inside is enough to drag my feral side to the surface. End quote. I'm going to say squelching.
I get it, but it's just not my favorite word.
Me squelching?
No.
Hey, macaroni in a pot.
No.
Gross. It's so gross.
Wah, 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 wah.
The only thing that would have made that worse if he said squelching at each time her passage.
Her squelching passage.
I hate it here. Anyway, okay. So we don't get explicit descriptions of his penis, but he does mention that he has hard ridges stroking her soft center. So I don't know if that's a special feature he has. And I have to imagine then, okay, is it because of the patchwork done that he's like the scarring is maybe rougher, you know?
I choose to believe it's the forest witch was like, for her pleasure, her ridges for you.
Ridges for you and you and you. Okay. So he then opens her mouth. Okay, this is about to get wild, so buckle up. He then has her open her mouth and says, quote, my tongue dips out, sliding down her throat like an eel, end quote.
Fascinating.
Going on to say, quote, my tongue takes her spasming throat, end quote.
I mean, it would probably make my throat spasm too in a throw up kind of way.
Yeah, and she's is essentially what he's doing is like choking her. Like
gagging her?
With his gagging, mouth. Choking her.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because she can't breathe.
Yeah, not great. I wouldn't do it.
So not I guess me. It's choking. Again, they both finish this way.
Oh, good.
So that brings the orgasm count to 4-2.
4-2.
It's like playing tennis or something.
Yeah, I got to keep like, score. Here's
the score. But once he pulls out, they have to face a harsh reality that the sun is about to come up and he will once again. Sorry, if you forgot that there was a plot to this book, I just had to remind you. I
honestly wasn't expecting sunrise to be so soon.
Yeah, no, they've been at it.
That's true. The score is 4-2 in terms of orgasms.
We also have no clue when she got there, too. That's true. So anyway, he says this line that I think is supposed to be romantic, but doesn't feel like it. Quote, I only wish you had come earlier in the night, all the things we could have done. And she's like, hey, well, the sun isn't up yet. We could just go another couple rounds. So then she rides him and screams for him one more time. He does refer to her passage now as a saturated space.
I mean, I think we could all agree that after this many orgasms, her passage is probably a pretty saturated space.
Yeah. Orgasm count, final count is 5-3.
5-3.
I think that's the most orgasms we've had in a book.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Just when he's starting to feel human for the first time in 100 years, she whispers to him, I'll come visit you. But before anything can happen.
But I gotta go to Mexico first for a wedding.
But before, no, hold on, before they can do anything, they hear a voice say, no need for that, my dear. You'll be joining him here.
No!
Dun, dun, dun!
No! Could it be?
Could it be?
The witch!
The witch is there, alive, after 100 years. And like,
so is the scarecrow.
But the thing is she's like, somebody had to keep an eye on you. And she's like, clearly I didn't look close enough.
I've been watching in the core.
So then I'm thinking like, okay, who is that old man at the beginning? Like, was he like the witch? Like,
in disguise?
Does he work for the witch? Is that or is he just some weirdo? Like, anyway, it does not matter.
Both?
The witch is like, quote, she who gives herself willingly to a monster must be a monster trying to hide.
That's kind of racist, but okay.
Before I tell you the end of this book, because I'm going to tell you the end of the book and then the epilogue. Yes. How do you think this is going to go?
You have to, she's gonna also become a scarecrow. And what are the ramifications of that gonna be? Well, she's obviously not going to Mexico. She'll be a scarecrow with a shiny purple purse. There'll just be two scarecrows right next to each other, and every Halloween it'll get a little hazy, and then they'll get to bone. That's my prediction.
Well, here's the wonderful thing is that most romances are defined by being happily ever afters. And I guess it depends on how you defined happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
So Scarlet feels her body give way to a sack of hay, and her limbs become lifeless, and her eyes turn glassy, and the world becomes something far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are in the epilogue, and I'm just going to read the whole thing to you because it's very short.
I'm ready.
Okay. Quote, somewhere in a long forgotten pumpkin patch in the heart of the Georgia mountains sits two scarecrows. Their faces rest in stitches, gazing out over the fields and forest. They count each rising dawn and every setting sun. The days tick by. Their minds grow restless in the infinite loop of forever. But soon, oh so soon, the veil will begin to thin again, and the two lost lovers entombed in straw will take flesh for one night only. Such a pity to be cursed, but what a wicked delight to be cursed together.
Incredible.
The end.
I did write the book.
You did. I'm surprised you guessed that. I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised you got that.
Ooh, look at me go.
Because I was fully prepared for you to be like, oh, they're going to beat the witch. Like, I think every time you think that it's going to be like a happily ever after.
How my
you
second option was like some sort of breeding will have to take place.
I gave no pregnancy trigger
That's
warning.
True. That's true. Usually you give a pregnancy trigger.
I do. I do. So that was our story. How do you feel post Scream for the Scarecrow?
I'm feeling deeply validated by the way that I knew. First of all, my passage feels awesome.
And would you like a gold star on your report card?
I would.
That you guessed that?
For getting it right.
I have to say, it was a refreshing ending.
Yeah.
I just appreciate that it didn't like end exactly how we should want it to end. You know, you want them to end up together or beat some curse. And it's like,
you want them to start selling jizz to unsuspecting humans under the guise of pumpkin spice. And sometimes you need a different ending than that.
Yeah. And look, I'm all in. So it was just a fun plot, and I think the spice was excellent. Okay, let's get into the diversity. They do mention regularly that she has creamy white skin.
It's very specific.
So yes, no diversity, other than a scarecrow man.
Yeah, and the patchwork of his flesh.
Yeah. But for plot, I'm giving it a 2.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
That's bold. Why? Give me the reason.
Because the stakes are we have to get this purse to go to Mexico. I've not forgotten. I've not forgotten. I like that there's an entire lore about how the scarecrow man became a scarecrow man. And it's not just that he was a scarecrow in a field. That was pretty good. I enjoy that they're doomed for eternity to not do anything except for one night a year.
You know what? You've convinced me. I'm going up to a 3.5 with you.
Hell yeah, brother.
Because, you know, I was like, you know what? You're right. There was a whole ass witch. There was a whole backstory.
There's a whole witch.
And I just complimented the fact that it ended how I wanted a different ending, and it gave me a different ending. Okay. So I'm giving the smut a 5, despite the fact that we use squelching and passage.
Squelching passages.
But I'm giving it a 5 because that many orgasms, I have to give it a 5.
Yeah. A 5, 1 for each orgasm that main
Scarlet had. Yeah. Uh-huh. What are you doing? A 5.
I'm gonna do a 5 as well. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We have a wonderful cover, in our document. Would you mind describing this cover for our friends and family?
Yes. So specifically for our friends, our parents and siblings.
Yes.
Any children they may possess. Here's what this book cover looks like, friends and family. Photorealistic style, so not really an illustration. We've got a dark night sky, a full moon, clouds over it. There is a field. It's just full of pumpkins and green vegetation.
Yeah.
It kind of looks a lot like, I don't know, kale. It doesn't matter. Lots of vegetation in this pumpkin patch. And then we have obviously a scarecrow. He is up on the pole, not off the pole. And we don't see him.
He'd be dancing on that pole.
He'd be dancing on that pole. Somebody come get him. He's dancing like a stripper. Our scarecrow has like branches for fingers, like very long, sticky, fingers. Appears to be wearing some sort of long trench coat style coat. You can see kind of hay body. It's kind of hard to make out a lot of his features. Looks to have a sack for a head. You can kind of see like a ripped mouth. Got a little hat on. Not the way that I drew it. When you look at our Instagram and follow us on Instagram, it will be different. And then in like a very scratchy, spooky font, it says Scream in red. And then it says For the in white. And then it says Scarecrow in red. And it's by Violet Taylor. And I like it.
I think it's good. It's a 4 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would give this a 4 as well. I think it's delightful.
Did we just do the exact same
thing?
So we went 83.3% across the board. That's pretty good. That's a pretty fresh rating.
That's pretty fresh.
What were your say smut moments?
Don't keep all your personal identifying documents in your day-to-day purse. What are you doing? Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
The rest of it went exactly as I thought it was going
to
go.
Yeah, no. And to be fair, like all the sexual interactions were pretty normal.
Yeah.
Except people for be biting. Shoving
long tongues down my wet passages.
Okay, well, now that you're pointing that out, you're absolutely right. Putting the tongue down the throat was crazy. Kind of wild.
Wild.
And biting her.
Much biting.
And leaving the gaping wound open because she talks about like the blood trickling down her body and stuff. So it's like, it's an active wound.
It's bleeding.
It'd be bleeding. And then, yeah, I would say, you know, making that lifelong commitment to become a scarecrow with somebody that you met for one night.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't really talk about a future. I don't know how lasting their love will be.
Although, because they have to be inactive for all the other days of the year, maybe it's a super, super heart grows fonder over time situation.
Maybe you're right.
And she was going to come back. So it's not, in many ways, it's not dissimilar from the plan she seemed to have, which was that she was going to come back maybe next year.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's happening.
Here are some parallels I want to make for our listeners. If you listened to the last couple of episodes, first of all, we also had, who was it? The Headless Horseman. She couldn't come back to him until a year later. Uh-huh. So that felt very similar.
Oh, she had to go get his head.
Yeah. And then like she couldn't visit his house on Google Maps or something until like a year.
And like on Halloween when his talking horse was standing outside.
Yeah. And then what's the other one I was thinking of?
Corn Daddy.
Yeah, he wants her to stay with him forever. And she kind of goes missing to the public because she goes underground with him to make his babies. But also the setting just being a field and very similar in that way.
Yeah,
there was a lot of similarities with some of our other books. But it definitely goes for a darker vibe. If you decide to read this book. I'd say for 45 pages, that's a pretty solid, like there was so many sex scenes.
Mm-hmm. 5 lady orgasms. And we all know how long that can take. So impressive.
Oh God. So
don't even get us started.
Don't even get me started. I do. Look, the one missed opportunity I would say is that we didn't know the taste of his gum.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to get that from something.
Hey.
What else could it taste like? I don't know. Like,
it's not going to taste like pumpkin. That doesn't make sense.
No, it shouldn't
taste like corn either because that's not really relevant. So I don't think it's going to taste great.
No. Okay. You're right. Okay. Well, Victoria.
Violet.
Oh my God. Violet Taylor. I'm so sorry. We need to know. We need to know also if he had ridges from the scarring or if it was like a special made penis by the witch. I also want to know, okay, does Scarlet's scarecrow have patchwork too, or is she like flawless? Because she didn't have to get patched up.
Yeah. Is she cute? Does she look like herself, but just made of straw?
Yeah. And also what happened to the girls' trip to Mexico? Did they all not go? Did the wedding get canceled?
Yeah. Was the marriage continued? Did anyone care? She didn't come back the next day.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us talk about Scarecrow Smut. You can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at Say Smut Podcast. As I mentioned, giveaways, recommendations, lovely portraits from our in-house artist.
That's me.
Hope. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. And yes, we've gotten some of your guys' recommendations. We are slotting them into time, so don't think that we're just like ignoring you.
Yeah, thank you. We love it. Do some more.
Pop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing. Enemies to lovers, we're so happy to have this moment with you. Spend forever in a cornfield with you.
Yes, we would spend forever in a cornfield with you, only to get to have relations with you one day a year.
That would be gross.
I know, it got weird.
All right. Hey, stay smutty, y'all.
Yeah, spooky Halloween.